Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a new weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to Deacon Pedro Guevara-Man and for our partners at Salt and Light Radio for their contributions to this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore.
Most of us are not thinking about Catholic publishing. If we like to read, we buy books at the bookstore. If we want to nourish our faith or read something specific about Catholicism, we may look for it online or we may go to the local Catholic bookstore. We also sing songs at Mass, but most of us are not thinking about everything that goes on behind the scenes to make sure that these books and songs get published. Now, one of the largest Catholic publishers in the world is the Chicago-based J.S. Pollock Company, and their music and liturgical division is World Library Publications. The chief publishing officer is Jerry Gallipo, who is also an accomplished liturgist, author, and composer in his own right. And so I'm very happy to be joined now by Jerry Gallipo. Jerry, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour.
Thank you so much.
So, J.S. Pollock, Tell us a little bit of the history of the company.
Well, J.S. Pollock was founded by the Pollock family in 1913, so we've been serving the church for over 100 years. Basically, it began as a small press that was printing newsletters and things like that for parishes as the needs grew. We have the original printing press actually here in our plant in Chicago.
Really?
Very interesting to see that. But over the years, certainly expanded and developed into the largest Catholic bulletin publishing company
really?
In the United States, and has a couple of divisions that including World Library Publications, which is the music and liturgy division of J.S. Pollock.
So let me go back then. So the largest bulletin, at Sunday we get the bulletin that's got all the announcements. You publish that for parishes all across the United States.
Yes, about 3,500 parishes.
Wow.
Yes.
And coordinating all the individual local advertisers, because they have local advertisers.
Yes, it's the revenue from the advertising that actually is what keeps the company going, and we do revenue sharing with the parishes.
Uh-huh.
When those ad pages in the back fill up, we are part of our contract with parishes that we share that revenue with them, so it's a win-win for everyone.
But you also publish books.
Right. World Library Publications is really the publishing arm of the J.S. Pollock Company. So here at World Library, our mission is to serve the needs of the singing, praying, and initiating church. So it's music, prayer and art resources, and resources for the RCIA.
Okay, so it's not Catholic novels.
Correct.
Nothing against Catholic novels. So resources for RCIA, for example, for
yes.
catechesis, catechetical, or prayer?
Yeah, mostly directed to the liturgical aspect of the RCIA, and we're one of the three large music publishers, Catholic music publishers in the United States as well.
Right. So, and the music is specifically liturgical music, or because you also publish other artists who are composing?
Right. Specifically music for the liturgy or music for prayer gatherings, music for young adult or youth nights. Not every piece that we publish is designed to be sung at the liturgy, but
right.
for the most part, that's what kind of our focus is for the singing church and the praying church.
Okay, so just to make sure I have it right, so J.S. Pollock is the part that does the bulletins?
Right.
And then World Library Publications does everything else?
You got it. We also have a calendar division, Catholic calendars, a stewardship calendar, a scenic calendar for parishes that kind of give those out to their parishioners on the
really?
Around the first of the year. And then, of course, we have our vocations division as well.
Okay, and I've been to your headquarters there in Chicago, and I just want you to tell our listeners about your warehouse, because it's like IKEA.
It's kind of amazing, because I think there are the warehouse consists of many, many printing presses, because
yes.
we have three plants around the country. We're printing, I think, about 1,500 or 1,600 weekly parish bulletins here in that plant, but also that plant is the warehouse for all of World Library publications, CDs, musical octavos, music books, art books, all of our books. That's where our inventory is. So it's just a kind of a massive place back there.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's phenomenal. It's a very exciting. Lots of energy there.
Yeah.
So you said your mission is to assist or the praying, singing, and initiating
church.
Beautiful. I love that. You, Mr. Jerry Gallipo. How does one end up being a liturgist?
Since I was a kid, I just have been
really
fascinated with what goes on in church. Basically, I started as a church musician when I was in fifth grade. I've studied piano and organ my whole life. And, you know, as a little 9-year-old kid, I'd leave the house on Holy Thursday night and go to church by myself. And
yeah.
Was just kind of fascinated with the bells and the smells and the flowers and the processions and kind of a weird little kid, I think. But there was just something about it that just got me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I actually studied for the priesthood in Boston, Massachusetts for quite a while. I was never ordained, but I made sure that a lot of the electives that I took were in liturgy and just kind of have really loved the celebration, the preparation for, and reflection on the liturgy my whole life.
Mm-hmm. And when did you start composing?
I started composing probably about 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Most of what I do in composition is when someone asks for something specific, for a funeral or for something, I do that. I don't consider myself a great composer. It's just kind of an as-need basis.
Right, but you are specifically a liturgical composer.
Yes.
So you're not writing songs for like the beach?
No.
Maybe you should try that. No.
Yeah, why not? If I could bring any warmth here, that would be great.
Exactly. Yes, Chicago. Yes. So on a need basis, so I'm going to request a song for my summer barbecue. How did you, because, so RCIA initiation, can I say that that's also an area of expertise for you?
Yes, that would be the largest area of expertise. When I left the seminary, I moved to Florida and was director of liturgy and music at a couple of large parishes there that had wonderful RCIA programs, very large, you know, initiating lots of people, got on the RCIA teams in those parishes, and then got connected with the North American Forum on the Catechumenate, whose mission it was to implement the RCIA in the United States and Canada, and began traveling, giving workshops throughout the U.S. and Canada. On the RCIA, training people who were implementing the catechumenate in their parishes. And that just has become and continues to remain a huge passion for me. And when I came to World Library, I started a series called the Fountain of Life series, which is a series of books and resources for RCIA teams. Some of it has been translated into Spanish. So we're really, again, trying to serve the needs of the initiating church. That's where that segment comes in.
And just to go back to the training, because you still do the workshops, you still go around.
Yes.
You're training people in parishes who are the catechists for
the catechists,
RCIA.
The people who are doing breaking open of the word, if there are dismissals of catechumens in the parish. Just kind of an overall approach. And I think my own passion, especially with some of the writing I've done, is to try to help people see the RCIA kind of in the same vision as the Second Vatican Council did, which called the RCIA not a mere exposition of dogmatic truths and norms of morality, but an apprenticeship, a training in the whole Christian life.
See, I'm a musician, so I think, and a deacon, so I understand the love and passion for the liturgy. I don't understand the passion for RCIA. Why do you think you have a passion for that? Where does that come from?
I think where it comes from is, I think it's deeply personal.
Yeah.
As a Roman Catholic, when I see people who are coming to faith for the first time, who are seeking something that they can't find out there in the society, which pushes me all the time, when I see faith awakened in another human being and actually see the Lord be born in their hearts, it's something that is a constant reminder to me that my own conversion and my own relationship with the Lord needs to be strengthened and renewed all the time.
Do you see Pope Francis's, I guess, renewal of the call to make disciples missionary disciples directly related to the work that we do as catechists initiating people to baptism?
Absolutely. And I've been asking that question in my travels in the past year.
Uh-huh.
You know, the so-called Francis effect, has that had anything to do with your own initiation ministry? I was in Louisiana a couple mm-hmm. of months ago, and they said of the 17 people who have begun inquiring about the faith in their parish, three of them were there because of Pope Francis.
Interesting, interesting.
Yep. And you know, not only that, I think the Pope has just been a tremendous, with the call to evangelization and call to make disciples, I think it's really given a nice boost to people who may have been in initiation for a long time mm-hmm. and maybe losing some of that fervor.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, kind of like a refocus.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'm gonna have to look up all your resources and for my own parish. This is great, Jerry. It's all the time we have, but it's been really good meeting you, working with you, and having you on the program today.
I'm here, Deacon Pedro. This has been a real honor for me.
Thank you for what you do.
Okay.
Jerry Gallipo is Vice President and Chief Publishing Officer for the J.S. Pollock Company and its Music and Liturgy Division, World Library Publications. Jerry is a popular parish mission presenter and retreat leader, author and composer. His latest book, Apprenticed to Christ, Activities for Practicing the Catholic Way of Life, and most of his books, including the series he mentioned, Fountain of Life, are published by World Library Publications.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent, value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
Dan Schutte is one of the St. Louis Jesuits, and I'm very excited to welcome him to the Salt and Light Hour today. Dan Schutte, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here with you.
It's a great honor, and I have so many questions to ask you, but maybe how did this all begin? How did it all begin?
Well, it began, the music part began in my childhood.
Yes.
Neither of my parents were musical, but I had grandparents on both sides of the family that were, and I think I probably got those genes.
Uh-huh.
So I was a lover of music from very early childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
That part of me was luckily and gracefully nurtured over the years by the Catholic sisters who taught me in grade school, and then by the
right.
Jesuits in
right.
high school.
Right.
When I was in college, so right after high school, I entered the Jesuit seminary, mm-hmm. and I was blessed to have both peers who loved music and also professors mm-hmm. Who nurtured that in us. Many people think that the St. Louis Jesuits, that whole venture was something that the five of us sat down and planned one day, and that was not the case at uh-huh. all. We were seminarians, and we played music for Mass, and we were inspired both by our Jesuit Ignatian spirituality mm-hmm. to begin writing music from Scripture, which is what we did, and the response of people was so amazing, and that it encouraged us to keep on doing that. We never went looking for a publisher. A publisher heard about us yeah. through the grapevine and wrote and said, "If you guys ever would be interested in having your music published, we'd be happy to talk to you about it."
Yeah.
So it was all along the way very much a work that God yeah. did in us and through us rather than something we set out to do.
Yeah. Now, let me just back up a little bit. This was in the late 60s, so when you were writing music at the seminary, you weren't specifically writing music for Mass. Was the new translation, the new liturgy...
It was
around the same time.
We were writing for the renewal of the liturgy that happened with the Second Vatican
okay.
Council.
So those
new English texts were out and about, and so those are the texts that we wrote for Mass parts, and then of course using Scripture for other hymns uh-huh. and songs.
Now you're a guitar player mainly. Do you play any other instruments?
You know, I began with guitar, uh-huh. but I've always loved piano, and over the years, I've learned to do that, took lessons at a couple different points. I'm not a terrific pianist by any means, but I can play my own music, and when I do my evenings of music and reflection, I play both piano and guitar and
right.
sing.
Were you influenced very much by the folk music of the 60s?
Oh, very much.
Yes.
Sure. You know, people like Simon and Garfunkel, uh-huh. Peter, Paul and Mary, and the popular ones of that time, Gordon Lightfoot, were all
right.
influences on me and my fellow Jesuits.
Yeah. Now, the other St. Louis Jesuits, John Foley, Bob Dufford, Rock O'Connor, and Tim Mannion, what happened to them? Are they...
They're all alive.
Yes.
And still kicking. they're all involved in various works. John Foley's at St. Louis University. Rock O'Connor just got a new assignment at a Jesuit parish in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Tim lives with his wife in the Seattle, Washington area.
Right.
And Bob Dufford is at a Jesuit retreat house in Iowa.
Nice, nice. So you guys still keep in touch?
We do a bit. Not a lot. Our lives keep us busy doing other things, but in 2005, we celebrated mm-hmm. the 30th anniversary
yes,
of our venture together and did a new recording for that
yes.
and did a bit of travel with some anniversary events. So we do maybe one a year.
Mm-hmm. Now you go around, you do workshops, you're still writing music, you're writing books. Is that sort of what's keeping you busy most of the time?
Yes, it keeps me very busy.
Yes, I'm sure.
I'm actually right in the process of working on a book, which would be sort of the counterpart to the Advent Christmas book.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing a new one for Lent and Easter season.
Oh, good. And we can talk about that.
So it would be exactly the same format as the God With Us book.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
And reflection.
So I have this book in my hand. It's a prayer book for Advent and Christmas, and it has, I guess, a little reflection and songs to go with this reflection. How do you hope that people can use this book?
Well, I wrote the book for those people who sit in the pews on Sundays. Many of them don't have an opportunity to go on a retreat, you know, to leave their mm-hmm. families and so forth. They're much too busy for that. So I wanted to offer a prayer book for the person in the pew who wanted to give a little bit more prayer time to Advent and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful time of year, and so I also know that many of them are helped by having music to pray with.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, we can't always find that place of prayer within ourselves without some help. So the songs and the music, I found, help many people to enter into that prayerful place.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful marriage of the music with reflections and scripture and so forth.
And the photographs as well.
Yes.
Are also, I guess, for some people, an entryway into that deeper prayer experience.
Right. It's all about capturing people's imagination, and the song does that in one way,
mm-hmm.
the scripture does it in another way, and the photographs hopefully do it in another way to people who are more visual. I'm a very visual person.
Are
and,
you?
And yeah. do graphic arts in addition to the music piece.
Right.
So having beautiful photographs like that helped me to enter into that place of prayer.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I like about the book, because when I first saw it, I thought, oh, great, something I can do, a little reflection for every day of Advent. And, of course, there isn't one for every day of Advent. There are 12 reflections.
Right.
And even though, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but could I say that sort of the first couple ones are more Advent and the later ones are more Christmas? Because I find that any of them could work for both. Sometimes.
Right. The almost the first half. I think there's a place where it becomes, all of a sudden you notice it becomes obviously Christmas and about the Christmas story.
Yes.
The scripture reading kind of takes you to that place.
Right.
So that the reflections before that would be Advent season and after that would be Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Good. So it's a great resource, I guess. I hate to call books like these resources. It sounds so academic. But it's a great companion to our Advent and Christmas journeys as we pray, whether you want to spend some time just before Mass reading it or while you're driving with the CD, or I guess in your quiet prayer time at night or in the morning at home. It's I think a lot of people find that they need direction in their prayer.
Yeah. That's exactly what I intended. And one of the reasons why I didn't write a reflection for every day is that I know not everybody finds the time every day
mm-hmm.
to set aside for a long reflection. The other piece comes from my Ignatian spirituality, where Ignatius, in his spiritual exercises, invites a person to stay with a particular prayer or reflection as long as it gives grace and blessing.
Yes.
And only then do you move on. So I didn't want to fill the book with too many pieces.
Yes.
I wanted people to spend time on each one of them.
Yeah, no, and that's what's beautiful about this, that you might do, you know, the third one one day, and then 2 weeks later you might come back to the third one.
Yes, exactly. It's
beautiful. And it is a beautiful little book. So I encourage all our listeners to go look it up, God With Us, a prayer book for Advent and Christmas with a companion music CD by Dan Schutte. Dan, it's been a great pleasure. I wish we had more time, and maybe now is an opportunity that we've spoken, maybe bring you back when the Lenten version is out and we can talk about Lent. Thank you for...
Sure, I would love to. Thank you for the honor of being with you.
Yes, I think I can speak on behalf of all our listeners. Thank you for all the work you've done for the church.
You're very welcome.
You can learn more about Dan Schutte, find out how to bring him to your parish for one of his workshops at his website, danschutte.com. All his songs and books are published by Oregon Catholic Press. You can learn more at ocp.org.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore is pleased to announce the launch of the 2015 Archbishop's Annual Appeal. The theme for this year's appeal, taken from the Gospel of Matthew, is Go Make Disciples, and it is a call for each of us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. The Archbishop's Annual Appeal provides our 145 diverse parish communities with the tools that help them celebrate the sacraments, teach the faith, and build a vibrant culture of life centered on the Eucharist. Funds from the appeal feel are also used to evangelize future generations, strengthen families, and to lend a hand to the underserved members of our community. On behalf of Archbishop William E. Laurie, thank you for your prayerful consideration to support this year's Archbishop's Annual Appeal. For more information or to make a gift, please visit www.archbalt.org/appeal.
Catholic Baltimore is brought to you by the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Many Catholics in our area have stories and wonderful memories to share about their favorite parish priest. That one priest who was there for a family wedding, baptism, First Communion, and even in less joyous times when a loved one was sick or at the death of a family member. These priests, who once dedicated themselves to their parishes and to their parishioners, are now retired and find themselves in need of our help. At all parishes, the weekend of January the 17th through the 18th, a second collection will be taken up at all masses to help defray the costs associated with supporting the many priests who are in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Others are recovering from surgeries or in nursing care facilities. Please give generously to them, as they gave to us, and support your parish's second collection the weekend of January the 17th through the 18th. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.